Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Hey everyone, thanks for deciding to listen to today's podcast. We will be talking about a wild little beast that we all have. Sometimes it's very nice, but other times it's really nasty. So how do we deal with this unstable thing that follows us wherever we go? We will take a look at how we can start taming our very own tongue. Let's get started with the tongue series, lesson one, Taming the Tongue. James 3, verses 7 through 10. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Let's look at some of the meanings of these words. No one can tame the tongue. Tame means to curb our words or restrain them. The tongue is a restless evil. The Greek word for restless also means unstable. In other words, our tongues are unstable because they can strike out like a deadly poison at any given moment. Imagine a poisonous spitting cobra attacking someone. Our words are likened to a deadly poison when we spit them out. The tongue is a restless evil. Evil means injurious and destructive words. Full of deadly poison. Poison means speaking to people in an abusive way by using degrading, derogatory, belittling, critical, scornful, mocking, and insulting words. What this means is, because we don't restrain ourselves, we spew out abusive words that are degrading and derogatory, belittling and mocking, critical and scornful, which are poisonous to people mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. This is especially true when done continually and without any remorse or repentance. This will leave deep wounds. Let's look at two contrary ways James says we use our tongue. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. This is serious because we curse the very people God has created. The word curse here in the Greek is very specific. It can mean our tongue uses dirty or profane words. It can also mean we curse by condemning a person. We don't want them to have a blessing. It can even mean we pray for them to go to hell. So this type of cursing is when we desire for evil to come into another person's life. We are devaluing the very person God values and who has been made in his image. James also tells us blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. James is talking to brethren. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. So he's speaking to fellow believers in Jesus Christ. One minute, our words are spitting out terribly damaging words, and the next minute, they are full of blessing and benefit to the listener. Thus, the meaning the tongue is unstable. It's confusing in relationships when our tongue says loving words and then it twists and turns and says mean, hateful things. Thus, the unstable tongue. You know the old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But the Bible says this is not true. Abusive speech is a big deal to God because of the destructive consequences. Such a serious dichotomy or contradiction. We use our tongue to bless our great Creator and then curse who He has created. This makes no sense for those of us who are Christians and followers of Christ. It goes to show, once again, without God's help, we can't improve all on our own. But with humility, as we depend on and trust in God, He will continually change us to use our tongue in a way that honors Him. We cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit, without prayer, without knowing and obeying God's word. True, lasting transformation with our tongue comes from God, as we also do our part to improve. We'll be talking about some practical steps of action to help us in just a few minutes. But first, let's look at two segments regarding the tongue. First, how bad the tongue is. And second, we can do better with our tongue. First, how bad the tongue is. Here James is telling us our tongue, our words, can be a source of uncontrollable evil and deadly poison. James is using logic. Just like we do in today's world, such as, why can we put a man on the moon but we can't cure headaches for everyone? Obviously, James isn't talking about the man on the moon argument, but he still points to amazing human accomplishments. Back in James's day, people had learned to tame every kind of animal and bird, reptile, and sea creature. So in his day, taming all kinds of wild beasts and creatures was like in our day of going to the moon. James's sensibility confirms humans can tame all kinds of wild things, but they can't tame their own tiny tongue. How much sense does that make? How can it be that something that is so small can't be tamed, but the biggest wild beast can be? It's because what comes out of the mouth starts with what's in our heart. And the heart directs all aspects of our life, our mind, our words, actions, attitudes, motives, our beliefs, which drive our behavior. Luke 6, verse 45. For his mouth speaks from the abundance of his heart. So it starts with our heart and not our tongue. Because our heart can hold wrong, wicked, sinful, deceitful things, our tongue will be ruled by this that is in our heart. And then we speak it. What is in our heart flows out of our mouth. Pride, anger, rebellion, bitterness, immorality, anger, unforgiveness, or other issues of the heart that we haven't dealt with will come out of our mouths in an uncontrollable way and also in our actions. The second segment, we can do better with our tongue. We don't just give in and give up. It's clear we will not achieve control over all our words at all times with all people in all situations, because God is continually sanctifying us, purifying us from our poisonous tongues. Christianity is not a magic wand where all wrongs go away in the sweep of a moment. Being a true follower of Christ means we constantly go to God as we fail. We ask Him to change us no matter how many times our untamed tongue comes out of its cage. God is perfect. We are not. But we still must desire progression in improving. Thank God He is powerful and faithful to us. He is continually molding us and shaping us into His vessels of honor, His instruments that can be used to think, say, and act in a way that represents Him well. Some days we might do much better than others, and then other days our unstable tongue makes itself known. Well, okay then. We continue to count on God as we remember how He has helped us, is helping us right now, and will always help us throughout our entire life. Just because we don't always experience it or feel it doesn't mean He's not doing a miraculous work in our hearts and minds and with our tongue. Here's some practical application tools to help us in the use of our tongue. Now, there's four tools to consider. The first tool, the fear of the Lord. To have the fear of the Lord means we respect God and honor Him. We do this by submitting to what He says we should or shouldn't say and what we should or shouldn't do. Fear of the Lord is how we start to have godly wisdom in how to live our lives, including how to use or not use our tongue. Having the fear of the Lord is knowing there is blessing and also consequences that come along with our choices. Proverbs 9, verses 11 through 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The second tool, a heart change. Since our words are an overflow of what's in our hearts, we need a heart change. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 17. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. This is David's prayer to God for a heart change. His heart had been full of lust, murder, and rebellion. After his devastating choices that harmed many people, he finally realized the seriousness of needing a new heart, one that followed after God's heart and not his own. He had learned the hard way that a wicked heart did wicked things. David clearly knew he needed spiritual heart surgery that only God could perform, just like we need spiritual heart surgery. When we ask God to give us new hearts, then we will use our tongue in a new way. The third tool, a guarded mouth. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Now, here is David acknowledging his own inability to keep his tongue from displeasing God. David was an example of a man that regularly called out to God no matter what was happening in his life. He never gave up on God changing his heart. This is why he is described as a man after God's own heart. He continually wanted to know and do what was from the heart of God. He stumbled along the way, but he always went back to telling God what was on his heart and then trying to align his heart with God's. David knew he needed God to help him with his tongue. This is because he knew of the passions that were stirred up in his heart and mind that could quickly be translated into evil words and careless actions that caused terrible consequences. He was not a perfect man by any means, but his heart kept going back to wanting to love and obey God. And this is even meant in how he used his tongue, his words. This doesn't mean David never, ever said anything wrong ever, ever again. It simply means he was well aware of what God required from him, and this included the intentional care of what came out of his mouth. When we stumble and fail, we don't give up and think it's impossible to improve. We ask for forgiveness and get back up to improve with God's help. We'll always be working on taming our tongue, meaning we acknowledge we need God to help us control it. Here's a fourth tool. It's called SAS, S-A-S. This stands for S, stop, A, assess, S, stop again. First, stop. Stop before spitting out whatever we want for whatever reason we have. Take a breath, slow down, and remember words matter for good or bad. In the moment, it might feel good to vomit whatever we want, but long term, it is not beneficial. Second, assess. Assess our words before they come out of our mouth, because what comes out of our mouth can be poisonous to relationships, especially if done frequently. Our choice of words can injure others emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, even when we don't realize it. Here's a list of key words that should remind us what can happen when we speak harshly. Will our words tear down and devalue a person by belittling them? Will our words be injurious, abusive, and destructive? Will they be harshly critical, scornful, and mocking? Are our words derogatory and insulting? Are we speaking deceit or only from our own perspective without any regard to theirs? Do we attack with our words when they are wrong and we are right? Third, stop again. After quickly assessing the way our words can affect another person for bad, choices in how we communicate can have consequences. Are we going to choose to pierce someone with our words? Do we realize the possible consequence, especially of us continually doing this? When we drip poison into a relationship, it can weaken it and cause it to fade away on many levels and in various ways. Are we going to choose to be mean with our words because it makes sense to do so? They deserve it. They don't listen to us when we say things nicely, and we are on our last raggedy nerve, so why not? Is that a choice that ends well in the long run? Choices come with consequences, and that's why it's important to stop before poisonous words and sharp daggers come out of our mouth that damage another person and a relationship. Words can be injurious for a long time. The memory of the words can linger on and on and on. This is not about guilt, but rather being intentional to not keep using our tongue in this manner. And then to go and ask forgiveness as we turn from this type of tongue lashing. This intentional choice is not so much about the other person or me, but rather it is about choosing God and His ways during hardships with others, no matter how hard it is. It's about training myself to not lash out with my tongue, even if it's understandable to do so. Surrendering to God's ways are hard, but the results give long-lasting benefits, either immediately or down the road. We need to pray and continually ask God to give us His strength to respond His way instead of react our way. Sounds impossible? Yes, it does. But God helps us with the impossible. It's not impossible to improve with the God of all possibilities. Let's quickly recap PAT, practical application tools. First tool, the fear of the Lord. Respect and surrender to God's advice on how to use our tongue, knowing there are consequences or blessings that go along with our choice of words. Second tool, a heart change. What's in our hearts flows out of our mouth. This is why we ask God to create in us a clean heart. We want a heart that goes after God's own heart, like King David did. Third tool, a guarded mouth. We ask God to help us guard what comes out of our mouth because we can harm the very people God created and valued regardless of their sins and wrongdoings, just as He values us regardless of our sin and wrongs. Fourth tool, SASS. S equals stop before spitting out whatever we want. A equals assess our words before letting them spew and spin out of control. S equals stop again as we consider the immediate or long-term consequences of our words. This includes to those we barely know and also the ones we deeply love. Now you have some tools to build a better way to use your tongue for better results in relationships. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever."